Syria on the attempt to fundamentally destroy the region's ability to stand together and stand for itself and be free of colonialism, hegemony, and external domination. And this is a responsibility of all of us. That means building our boycott campaigns. That means getting in the streets. That means confronting arms manufacturers like Palestine Action is doing. Every single person can play a role in a united front against genocide that spans across the globe and stands together with the Palestinian people and their resistance on the front lines of struggle.
Well, thank you both for being with me on this spotlight. Peter Ford, a former British ambassador to Syria, out of Manchester. Charlotte Cates, international coordinator, Samadun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, out of Vancouver. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi, thanking you for myself and other crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with Ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqarah, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. The parable of those who spend their property in the way of Allah is as the parable of a grain growing 7 years, with 100 grains in every ear. And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases, and Allah is ample giving, knowing. As for those who spend their property in the way of Allah, then do not follow what they have spent with reproach or injury. They shall have their reward from their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: U.S. Israeli genocidal war on Gaza is now in its fifth month, with UN warning against attacks on Rafah, where half of the Gaza population is taking shelter. Hamas says it wants to secure the release of as many Palestinians as possible from Israeli detention, as the movement submitted its response to a ceasefire proposal. And the U.S. Army acknowledges missile attacks on two ships off Yemen, while a British frigate has been reportedly replaced due to damage by a missile strike. Hello and welcome, everybody. The Israeli regime continues its indiscriminate strikes across the Gaza Strip, with hospitals and other healthcare facilities being the main targets of its attacks. The Palestinian Red Crescent says regime's latest attacks have targeted Al-Amal and Nasser hospitals in the southern city of Khan Yunis, where thousands of displaced Gazans have taken shelter. It added that nearly 8,000 displaced Palestinians were evacuated from the hospital following 2 weeks of Israeli siege. Hundreds of them have been relocated to the city of Rafah, which also remains a target of Israeli bombings. Palestinian media reported 14 citizens being killed and several more wounded in an Israeli shelling of a school located in Khan Yunis in the northern Gaza Strip. 20 Palestinians were killed and wounded in an attack on a house east of the Jabalia refugee camp. The regime's genocidal war, which started on October the 7th, is now in its fifth month. It has killed nearly 27,600 people, mostly women and children, leaving nearly 67,000 others injured. The United Nations has issued a stern warning against Israel's plan to attack Rafah, a city in southern Gaza, saying that it will lead to a large-scale loss of civilian lives.
We can warn what might unfold with the ground invasion, and we can make clear what the law says. Under international humanitarian law, indiscriminate bombing of densely populated areas may amount to war crimes. So, to be clear, intensified hostilities in Rafah in this situation could lead to large-scale loss of civilian lives, and we must do everything possible within our power to avoid that.
The warning comes after Israel said it's reviewing plans to attack Rafah, claiming that the city is the last remaining Hamas stronghold. The southern city has previously been declared a safe zone by the regime. An estimated number of 1.4 million displaced Gazans have already taken shelter there. Israel has issued several evacuation orders for residents of Gaza to move to Rafah since the beginning of its genocidal onslaught on the besieged strip. Meanwhile, the World Food Program says more than 500,000 people in Gaza are facing catastrophic hunger conditions. It says levels of acute food insecurity in Gaza are unprecedented in recent history. Israel's relentless bombardment of Gaza has left hospitals and medical centers in severe shortage of supplies. This has forced medical staff to leave patients, even with severe life-threatening injuries, untreated.
This aggressive Israeli occupation has done everything to make this health system in Gaza not functioning at all. They have destroyed all the health facilities here. They have made most of the hospitals out of service. We have thousands and thousands of crowded injured patients in the hospital who have no place to go to, no place to get proper specialized level of care. They have targeted the health system as a symbol of the Palestinians' resistance, as a symbol of Palestinians staying in their land and trying to do their best to survive this very difficult situation. One of the other big challenges that many days we have to prioritize between the patients, and we have to prioritize with the patient with higher survival rate in compared to the ones which are really in bad situation, which need a lot of care. And we lost many patients because we were unable to provide them with the service. At one point, we were not treating any patient with extensive burn because we know the bed capacity in the ICU can't deal with this big number of patients.
The health situation, but I would say the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip is beyond catastrophic and literally desperate. I think that this is the icon of the level of violence and where the situation has gone, where humanitarian workers have no protection, hospitals are hit. The last update that I got from Palestine Red Crescent colleagues yesterday is that 8,000 internally displaced people who sought refuge in our Palestine Red Crescent hospital in Khan Yunis called Al Amal left the hospital yesterday. The hospital was, in the last more than 2 weeks, the hospital was surrounded by heavy shelling, fighting, no way in, no way out, hit several times.
A senior Hamas official says the Palestinian resistance movement is trying to secure the release of as many Palestinian prisoners as it can in a possible deal with the Israeli regime. Ghazi Hamad's remarks came after Hamas said earlier that it had delivered its response to a ceasefire proposal to key mediators, Egypt and Qatar. Hamad added that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to make everyone believe that he has or will achieve victory to preserve his coalition cabinet. He said it took Hamas some time to issue a response because many of the agreement's issues were unclear and ambiguous. Hamas says it has responded to the proposal in a positive spirit with the goal of ending the aggression against Palestinians, securing relief aid, lifting the siege on Gaza, and completing a prisoner exchange process. The latest proposal was discussed during a meeting in Paris attended by American, Qatari, and Egyptian officials, as well as Israeli representatives. Several Palestinians have been injured as Israeli forces carry out fresh raids on a number of areas across the occupied West Bank. We were earlier joined by our correspondent, Mona Candy, who gave us more details.
The Israeli forces raided Jenin and its refugee camp, as well as the village of Al-Yamun. Reports coming from Jenin refugee camp, Palestinians are saying that dozens of Israeli military vehicles and bulldozers raided the refugee camp at the city of Jenin and destroyed infrastructure during this military raid that, unfortunately, it seems that it is still going on. And in Al-Yamun, before dawn, Israeli forces have raided Al-Yamun, as the Israelis always claim such military raids are aimed to conduct arrests among Palestinians, as the Israeli forces wanted to detain Palestinians accused by the Israeli military as wanted for security reasons. The Israeli forces had also raided Tul Kern, and according to Palestinian paramedics, three Palestinians had been wounded during this Israeli military raid. According to Palestinian resistance groups, clashes had taken place in both areas, in Jenin and in Tul Kerem. Elsewhere in the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces have stormed Ariha and arrested a number of Palestinians. The exact number of the Palestinians who had been detained this morning is still unclear, but we know that Israelis had detained Palestinians in Jenin, in Tul Kerem, in Al Khalil, as well as in Ariha.
Tensions remain high on Lebanon's southern border, where the Hezbollah resistance movement and Israel have been engaged in clashes. Ever since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza, Hezbollah fighters have hit several Israeli positions in their new operations against the regime. We're now joined by our correspondent Mariam Saleh, who's with us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, with an update on the recent tensions on the South Lebanese border. Mariam, over to you.
Well, in addition to the overnight shelling from the Israeli warplanes, there was also a direct attack by a drone, an Israeli drone, against one of the water pumps, which is used in order to take water from the river of Al-Wazani in the Wazani village to the surrounding towns and villages. We know that that water pump room was extremely damaged, which could probably lead to the fact that there will be shortage of water in that area. Of course, this is just one part of the fact that the Israelis continue to target not only military sites or civilian sites, but also civilian infrastructure in those towns and villages. And there were also additionally several shelling in most of the border towns, whether from yesterday and overnight as well. Hezbollah has launched, of course, yesterday, several very significant and qualitative operations. They targeted the Hunin post, which is situated and considered by the Lebanese government as Lebanese-occupied town of Hunin. It is called by the Israelis the Ramin post. Hezbollah, in one instance, targeted soldiers. In another instance, they used the Barakan rocket to target the barracks itself. But there was a bigger focus, it seemed, on the barracks in the occupied Lebanese Shabab farms. There were several posts that were targeted. Waisat Lana was targeted two times as well. One of the times they focused on the espionage devices in Waisat Alam, but also the posts of Sumaka and Ramta were also targeted in the occupied Shabab farms. Hezbollah also the Shabab farms are on the eastern side of the border, on the western side, which is closer to the coast. They targeted the Jal al-Alam post barracks, which also where they said there were soldiers deployed near that barracks. They used Falak 1 to target that post specifically. And of course, this is a part of the operations that Hezbollah continues to take on in South Lebanon. It seems that it's not getting any minimal, as we have heard from Israeli media, who said that there's a lot of pressure on Hezbollah, that if they do not stop their operations, we'll be launching an aggression. They also spoke about the fact that Hezbollah has retreated some of its groups back towards to the north of the Litani. This, I think, the operations that occurred, that are continue to occur and be by the resistance, prove that it doesn't seem that Hezbollah is deterred to launch its operations, whereas the Israelis, on the other hand, are incapable, it seems, of launching a full-scale war, since, as they know, and Hezbollah has promised, that the retaliation would be quite massive, and as massive as the Israeli aggression.
Thanks a lot, Mariam Saleh, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. An Israeli airstrike on the Syrian city of Homs leaves a number of people dead and injured. The attack was launched from the direction of the north of the Lebanese city of Tripoli. Military sources say Syrian air defenses were activated and intercepted, a number of the missiles. The attack has also led to material damage to public and private property. Israel has launched numerous attacks targeting different Syrian cities over the past several years. However, the strikes have intensified since Israel began its genocidal war on Gaza on October the 7th. Iraq's prime minister has reiterated that the presence of the so-called U.S.-led mission in his country must come to an end. Mohammad Shia al-Sudani made the remarks in an interview following a recent raft of U.S. strikes across the country's military and popular mobilization units. He added that after those strikes, his government has had no contacts with Washington. Sudani said Iraq is opposed to any military attack on its soil from any side. He noted that foreign forces must also leave Iraq's northern Kurdistan region. Political factions in Iraq also issued a statement on Monday demanding the withdrawal of U.S. forces amid growing anti-U.S. sentiments in Iraq. That is, the Islamic Resistance of Iraq said it will continue military operations against U.S.-occupied bases until they withdraw from the country. The growing anti-U.S. moves come after the U.S.-British airstrikes in western Iraq killed 16 people and wounded 36 others. The U.S. military has confirmed new attacks by the Yemeni army on ships off the Arab country's western coast. The U.S. military, in a statement, says six ballistic missiles were fired at two ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. It said the attack caused minor damage to one ship, but no injuries. Reports say the UK has now dispatched a Royal Navy frigate to replace the vessel sustained damage by a missile strike. Yemen says it conducts missile and drone attacks on ships belonging to Israel or those bound for Israeli ports in response to the regime's bloodshed. In the Gaza Strip, the spokesman for the Yemeni Armed Forces has emphasized that his country also reserves a right to self-defense in the face of the U.S.-UK aggression. Yahya Saree said attacks on Israeli ships would continue unless the regime ends its siege of Gaza and stops the deadly aggression there.
In response to recent U.S. and U.K. airstrikes against Yemen, the country's armed forces have carried out a naval operation targeting American and British vessels.
The naval forces of the Yemeni army carried out two military operations in the Red Sea, the first targeting an American ship, Star Nasia, and the other targeting a British ship, Morning Tide. Both ships were targeted with appropriate naval missiles, and the hits were accurate and direct.
Saree added the Yemeni armed forces will carry out more qualitative military operations against all hostile American and British targets in the Red and Arab Seas. He said Sana'a reserves the right to respond to the U.S.-UK aggression against Yemen. Military experts said this operation proves that the Yemeni army is capable of handling more than one target simultaneously. They added that the targeted vessels were carrying military equipment to Israel.
This is the first military operation in which we target two ships at the same time, an American and a British one. And this is to confirm our ability to deal with more than one target simultaneously. And any attempt by the enemy to camouflage its ships at sea will fail. We can identify its ship. Both ships or one of them were carrying military equipment heading to the ports of occupied Palestine to support the Israeli enemy.
Recently, the U.S. and U.K. have intensified their strikes against Yemen, specifically targeting residential areas in Hodeidah City in a failed attempt to undermine the Yemeni army's capabilities and halt Yemen's naval operations. The Yemeni army has repeatedly affirmed that it will only cease its operations when Israel halts its genocidal war in Gaza.
Despite the continued attacks on Yemen by the U.S. and U.K., Yemen's army is expanding its naval operations in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, indicating that Western aggression has failed to affect the Yemeni army's capabilities. It has also vowed to confront Western escalation with broader operations targeting their interests in the region. Abu Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
A U.S. appeals court rules that former President Donald Trump is not immune from criminal prosecution for acts committed while he was president. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit issued the ruling in relation to charges that Trump conspired to overturn the 2020 presidential election. The judges said Trump's claim of immunity from prosecution as a former president could, quote, collapse the system of separated powers by placing the president beyond the reach of all three branches. The 77-year-old politician is the frontrunner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. His spokesman said he plans to file another appeal. The former president was set to go on trial in Washington on March the 4th on charges of conspiring to overturn the results of the 2020 election won by Democrat Joe Biden. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Islamic Revolution and Scientific Leap. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The glorious Islamic Revolution of the Iranian people in 1979 has based on the enlightening instructions of Islam. Acquisition and teaching of knowledge have been highly emphasized in Islam. Accordingly, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, very great progresses have been made, both in eradication of illiteracy and higher education. During the despotic Pahlavi regime, there were some 155,000 university students, while the number has increased to over 4 million, so that today, 25% of people are graduates of universities. Moreover, Iran's scientific ranking has promoted remarkably. Now, in spite of all-out sanctions, which have been illegally and cruelly imposed by the US and its European accomplices, Iran's speed in the field of production of knowledge is 11 times more than the global average. Today, in the seventh episode of the special series, on the 45th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, we are going to touch upon Iran's scientific breakthroughs. Hope you'll enjoy it. The Islamic Republic presently produces nearly 2% of knowledge and stands at the 17th position in the world. After the Islamic Revolution, many companies have been founded whose axis of activity is to work on sciences and technologies. These companies are aimed at growing and accelerating economic advancement via modern technologies. Approximately 10,000 knowledge-based companies have been set up in Iran. With regards to high emphasis which is put on the expansion of such companies, It is expected to increase their number and impact in the domestic economy. These companies not only play a significant role in domestic production, but also it is forecast that till the end of the current Iranian year, March 19th, the rate of their exports will amount to $2 billion. One of the newest scientific phenomena in the world is nanotechnology, which creates basic changes in molecules and atoms to achieve more applications and qualities of elements. The Islamic Republic of Iran ranks first in the region and fourth in the world in this modern science. There are 350 companies active in the field. These companies have managed to make numerous products which are used mainly in textile, agriculture, petrochemicals, medicine, and home appliances. With respect to the rapid growth of nanotechnological products, it is estimated to export around $1 billion till the end of the next year. The Islamic Republic of Iran has made great breakthroughs in stem cells, which is considered a great development on medicine. Iran stands at 13th position in the field globally. Stem cells are susceptible to ample proliferation and transformation to different tissues of body. This enables them to repair and reconstruct tissues. So far, important measures have been taken in the fields of implantation of brain, bone, skin, cornea, treatment of cancer, repairing of damaged organs, and also making of various medicines. Royan, as the most important research center in Iran, has gained global fame for rendering a variety of medical and pharmaceutical services using stem cells. This advanced center, besides curing of infertility and other surgical operations with stem cells, has been successful in cloning of endangered animal species and empowering of domestic animals against various diseases. Gaining access to the full uranium enrichment circulation for peaceful usages was a great scientific achievement in 2006 for Iran. This important technology has ever since been used in different domains, such as securing energy, improvement of agricultural products, medicine, veterinary medicine, pharmaceuticals, water refinery, etc. Western governments and the Zionist regime, however, have exerted their utmost to deprive Iran from this right with the pretext of the likelihood of making atomic bombs. This while the fake Israeli regime has the largest nuclear arsenal in the region and has not signed a single covenant or pact, including NPT. Another boastful scientific and technological achievement in Iran after the victory of the Islamic Revolution has been the launching of satellites to the space, which places the country at the 9th position in the world. This success becomes more valuable once we know that all phases of making the satellite carrier and installations of launching, monitoring and controlling satellites have been done domestically by Iranian scientists. The first Iranian satellite was launched in 2009, and Iran has sent several animals alive to the space. The Islamic Republic has sent 11 satellites to the space, three of which were sent recently on 28th of January 2024. Iran has planned to launch new satellites to higher orbits for research, telecommunication, cartography, meteorology, and discovery of mines.
دشمن دین و قرآن آتش زده به مسجد The very first revolution that started with the people, continued with the people, did not change its word, did not change its way, did not decrease or increase its goals, is the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei.
جانم تپشم سخنم باشد وطنم وطنم ای خان که گوهر خیز بهره وطنم قدمم عشقم سخنم قسمم از عاشقی لبریز.
Congratulations on the victory anniversary of the Islamic Revolution.
Black and white.
El mundo islámico.
The Islamic world is no more and no less than 25% of the population on our planet, of the human population.
De la población humana. Son 1900 millones de habitantes.
There are 1900 million inhabitants. In 45 countries, the Islamic religion has the majority, but they also exist in all other countries in the world, including those in Latin America, where we are. Also, in some countries, like France, it is 7% of the population. That is 5 million people of the Islamic religion.
Personas de religión islámica. Sin embargo, a través del tiempo, desde el tiempo de la colonia.
However, over time, since colonial times, there has been an abusive nature in the treatment of people of the Islamic religion.
Religión islámica. Tenemos claro que la han convertido en una religión prácticamente.
Clearly, they have practically turned it into a religion of extremists, of fanatics, to disqualify the anti-colonial struggle of which the majority of the countries and peoples of the said religion, Islamism, are part.
De dicha religión, del islamismo. Sin embargo, hoy día, al desarrollarse esta lucha potente de resistencia anti-sionista en Palestina.
However, today, as this powerful fight of anti-Zionist resistance develops in occupied Palestine, the world of countries of Islamic religion, from the Arabian Peninsula, West Asia, Asia in general, Africa, and the other continents, begins to walk in a new moment of unity. Many governments that have always listened to the voices of American imperialism, the true leader of the war of occupation and massacre, genocide and infanticide on the people of Gaza, are beginning to take a tepid distance.
Empiezan a tomar tibias distancias porque ven.
Because they see how the people of their countries are assuming a militant policy of anti-imperialist unity. Without a doubt, anti-imperialism is not just a religious problem. Why? Because to be anti-imperialist, you can be a follower of one religion or another, or none at all.
Sin embargo, hoy en Asia Occidental,
however, today in Western Asia, talking about anti-imperialism is talking about Islamism, because many of the anti-imperialist organizations that are giving their lives and fighting hard against American imperialism and its appendages and its puppet, which is the Zionist entity, are from the Islamic religion.
Son de religión islámica. Estamos hoy día transitando.
We are today moving through a new moment for Islamism that, in any case, all people are seeing it.
Todos los pueblos ya lo va mirando.
As a religion that is also intrinsically linked to social justice, national liberation movement, and anti-imperialism.
Es por eso que están atacadas. Pero
That is why it is so attacked. But the main element, by the way, is undoubtedly the Palestinian resistance, which with all its moral strength, with its courage, gives energy not only to the Muslim and Islamic worlds, but to all the anti-imperialists of the world. And these are the demonstrations that occur. Today, Israel has no future, but anti-imperialism does have a future. There is no doubt about that. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Desde el tiempo de la colonia europea.
Since the time of European colonialism, mainly the countries of West Asia, hatred has been going on about the religion of Islam.
Occidente le da un carácter odioso.
We are with Ivan Krasko to talk about this and the conditions that exist and about the world of Islam. He's a university professor, a member of the Shia community of Mexico, and a specialist in Islamic world studies and international relations. Ivan, welcome to Black and White.
Islámico y relaciones internacionales. Bienvenido, Ivan. A Negro y Blanco por Hispan TV.
Hello, how are you? Thank you very much, Eduardo, to you and all your team.
Ivan,
what is the attitude of Islam towards someone who is not a follower of Islam? I mean, a person who has a different religion or does not follow any religion. What is the real approach? Because what is shown is a sectarian approach, extremism and hatred. Please.
Por favor.
Mira, la pregunta con la que empezamos y con la que estás,
Good. The question you started with is one of the most fundamental issues because they say that the issue of Palestine is a religious issue. And when we take this issue to the field of religion, the discussion about sectarianism starts there. The situation started during colonial times. During nearly 600 years ago, all religions lived together in a land called Palestine, which is still divided in various regions according to religious identity. Because it has been discussed in private and in public how to prevent disputes. For example, in a verse of the Quran that I like very much, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, "You have your religion and I have mine. You do not worship what I worship and I do not worship what you worship." Therefore, this issue shows that there is no question of surrender in religious matters. If there's a dispute, the relevant judges will deal with it, and the method of dealing with it is not ideological, religious, or invocation to insider individuals. Therefore, the approach of Islam regarding other religions, and specifically with the religions of the people of the book, that is, those religions that believe in one God and whose message is general, is a special kind of companionship. Because there are many fields of communication. For example, in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the prophets are practically the same. Their main message and mission are the same. And religion is not a means of division, but a means of unity. And the many years of coexistence in the city of Jerusalem and the general behavior there document this claim.
En la ciudad de Jerusalén y su reparto en general.
Así es, Iván. Mira.
Yes, that's right, Ivan. Look, religions contain social and political issues. What is Islam's opinion about politics and its proposal for society, a society that is built with its own people and groups?
No, que se construye desde sus propias comunidades.
Como tú lo has comentado, el Islam.
As you mentioned, Islam is a comprehensive life plan and call it a holistic way of life. It should be said that it covers all areas of life, from the most personal and private issues in relation to God to the biggest issues that are public and social issues. Since it is a religion that wants to cover all aspects of life, it has a say in political, economic, and social issues. In this context, Islam has a system that has passed its test during the centuries of the existence of the state and has formed an idea of the state, politics, and management of public and social affairs. And today, facing the current issues, Islam is not an alien entity. That is why there is a big controversy about the idea of imposing a lifestyle to separate the political spheres and personal and social spheres and the most private issues. This was the idea of the Europeans that aimed to create a hegemony, and they wanted to establish this issue over the centuries, especially from the 18th century. Some consider its beginning in the 15th century, that is, when the Jews and Muslims were expelled from the Iberian Peninsula. But I think that it was consolidated during the European Enlightenment period, when they tried to transfer the subject of religion to the private and personal sphere and do not leave that area. In Islam, there is no such thing. Islam is a comprehensive and holistic way of life. As mentioned, in Islam, politics cannot be separated from religious issues. A good government originates from God's commands, and, of course, a good society is based on the expectations of God's worship. Therefore, forming a good government and a good society is defined in the framework of religious affairs. What I mean by saying this is that religion should not be treated as a separate issue, as they tried to do with Christianity in Europe.
Let's take a break, and we will be right back and continue a more extensive discussion about this very important topic that more than anything exposes the hypocrisy by means of religion.
Bien, volvemos. Estamos con Iván Carrasco.
We're back with Iván Carrasco for a deeper conversation about the Islamic world. Is it important to talk about what is happening in the world of Islam today? Islam is a widespread religion, more than 25% of the world's population. We're talking about a population equivalent to 1,900,000,000 people. What is the state of unity in the Islamic world, fundamentally regarding the Palestine issue and regarding the struggle against the occupiers of the land of Palestine and the Zionist regime?
You asked a basic question again. If there is something that unites the Islamic community and the world, it is the issue of Palestine. It is the most sensitive part for any Islamic society. Attempts have been made to smash this unity among Muslims. They use differences between schools of thought, but we see that they have failed. As you can see, about a month ago, all the Islamic countries gathered in Saudi Arabia. When we say the world of Islam, I mean all member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The purpose of the meeting was one thing, and that is to resolve the Palestine issue. That is, the issue of the historical land of Palestine, and in particular with the recent events in Gaza and the recent brutality. In general, this gathering was in fact an effort to confront the enemy's attempts to sow division in the entire Union. Remember that the greatest imperialist power, Rome, had the slogan, divide and rule. All empires have made the most of this dirty policy, so that they can divide the others and thereby assert their hegemony. In the current time, in the current century, in the current decade, we are witnessing the decline of the global hegemony. And this hegemony is trying to create problems and divisions as much as possible. And we see that in the midst of this decline of hegemony, I mean the decline of American hegemony, and in general the European hegemony that is behind it, we're witnessing the emergence of new political actors at the international level. And of course, among these actors, there is the great Islamic community. If the Islamic society was divided at one time, Today, they are reconsidering this issue and are uniting around its issue. For example, Organization of the Islamic Cooperation regarding the issue of Palestine, the liberation of Palestine from occupation, the liberation of Palestine from the remnants of colonialism dating back to the 1940s, and the restoration of life to this region. We sometimes misunderstand the issue. This issue does not mean the massacre of the population living in the historical land of Palestine under occupation, but it means that the sacred city of Jerusalem al-Quds, or Beit al-Muqaddas, should return to what it was, a homeland for all nations and religions and for those who want to live peacefully. Therefore, in the case of Palestine...
Yes,
we agree. The issue of Palestine is creating a new era in the unity of the Islamic world and among Muslims. This is a fact, but it does not happen easily. The important thing to note is that some Arab countries are still begging America to end this world. This is an atrocity, because America is the one conducting the war. Despite this, the nations of these countries are gaining unity, independent of the pleas of their leaders to the U.S.
Pero sin embargo, los pueblos de esos países, ya, independientemente de los ruegos de los dirigentes,
the movement exists at the level of the social and human bases of these countries. What is your opinion about this? How do you interpret the current movement?
¿Qué te parece a ti? ¿Cómo interpretan ese movimiento en curso?
Mira, la causa palestina es la brújula moral de la humanidad actual.
Look, the issue of Palestine is an indicator of the level of humanity at the present time. It is a matter that, like a compass, shows us which way we should go. This issue is not unknown to anyone. Here the masks are removed. It shows which side you are on and who you are. For example, in the case of Arab countries, not all of them, but some of them, we see that they have a lot of trust in the existing hegemonic power. But at the same time, they are looking at new options. For example, we see the membership of some of the Arab and Islamic countries in the new BRICS bloc. And yes, we must emphasize that there is a lack of communication between the authorities of those countries and their people. They say that we are in a transitional period. We're witnessing the decline of America as a hegemony in the region and the rise of new actors with international weight who are against the current global hegemony. We saw how BRICS developed and how in their recent meeting, five countries of the region joined the BRICS group. Those who had agreements with the U.S. are creating agreements and forming relations with emerging countries and a new bloc. This indicates that loyalties and actions are not under control. There is a reason for this issue, and that's because the U.S. is both the judge and also one of the parties to the war at the same time. The U.S. government has caused the continuation of the genocide in Palestine. This war in Palestine was one of the first issues raised in the United Nations. They have used wars and disputes to advance colonialism. We must not forget that Israel is present in the region as a colonial regime that acts against the integrity of other countries in the region. And therefore, it must be said that the issue of Palestine is a breaking point that they have not been able to solve. And for this reason, the presence of emerging actors is raised, not only at the regional level, but at the global level. We are witnessing a time of change in the international order, in which what is called the only power in the world, that is, the United States, has fallen into deep decline. And at the same time, we are witnessing the emergence of new international powers. Of course, this situation is still in transition. We have to see who will occupy this hegemonic space. The new conditions will be tripolar, multipolar, or bipolar. Because of this uncertainty, we can say that we are in a transition phase where there is no clear hegemony. One is dying and a few other powers are emerging, but not yet established. And in the midst of this hegemonic dissonance and transition, we're seeing how the world of Islam is also reconsidering the existing propositions. If earlier contracts and agreements were very strong, now they are being questioned and countries are looking at new international attraction poles. At the same time, we must emphasize another issue, that the reason for this behavior of governments is lack of communication with their own people. We see that mainly in some Arab countries that have a majority of Muslims, for example, the countries of the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Peninsula, for example, in Egypt, they try to suppress social demonstrations in support of Palestine, because they know that the feelings about the Palestine issue are very strong and they have high social acceptance. As a result, before changing their foreign policy, they have decided to silence people. This has had consequences for them as well. They are thinking about a new approach to the Palestine issue. They cannot maintain this absolute distance because they see that their relations with international powers have distanced them from their own people. This issue is very costly for the ruling regimes in that region of the world. Conservative regimes mean monarchies that have their share of oil and want to have economic stability, although this does not always bring them social stability.
Así
es, Iván. Resistencia, la causa palestina.
That's right, Ivan. Resistance or the issue of Palestine is not only seeking the freedom of Palestine. At the same time, it frees all the countries of the region and basically the world of Islam, which goes far beyond the Arabian Peninsula and includes parts of Africa and Asia.
Península arábica, parte de África, de Asia. Bueno, en los distintos continentes.
The illusion that some people have is that the Palestinian resistance can be destroyed.
No, de pretender que la resistencia palestina puede ser destruida. Por el contrario,
but in reality, resistance has become a common phenomenon in the anti-imperialist world, especially in the world of Islam. Ivan, we're reaching the end of the program. Your words about the vision of the unity of the Islamic world.
Tus palabras sobre la perspectiva de la unidad del mundo islámico.
Bien, pues tú lo has comentado y lo hemos estado refiriendo aquí.
Yes, you said it and we also notice it here. The issue of Palestine is the core of the Islamic world, and it is what gives shape to their unity and the unity of all the Muslims of the world around the issue of justice and the issue of the oppressed and the victims of the marginalized of the economic, social, and political structure that we have institutionalized and normalized. However, in the issue of Palestine, there is a very important precedent for the whole world and specifically for the world of Islam. As you mentioned, this issue is the issue of all people in the whole world. One out of four people is Muslim. This does not mean threat at all, unlike what is being promoted in Hollywood and the Islamophobia propaganda throughout the hegemonic media. There is no reason for tension. We should be fair and tolerant around this issue. This is the just issue of liberating the nations that have been dominated and surrendered and have not been able to free themselves from the clutches of imperialism, and they have dominated them in the cultural, economic, social, and political fields. This is an awakening.
Social y político. Hay un despertar.
Hay un despertar hacia la unidad.
There is an awakening towards unity, an awakening for the unity of the Islamic world and the unity of all the anti-imperialists of the world, regardless of their religion. I hug you from here, Ivan. Thank you so much for being with us in Black and White.
In the limelight.
The pressure exerted by resistance groups in Iraq on illegal U.S. bases and oil platforms has demonstrated the determination of the resistance front against the U.S. occupation. At the same time, these groups have sent a political message with anti-colonial content to both their fellow citizens and to the United States and its regional allies, particularly the regime in Tel Aviv. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted the attack by the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Forces, PMU, an umbrella group of the Iraqi resistance that is part of the axis of resistance against the U.S. military base on the Syria-Jordan border, left three U.S. troops dead and at least 40 others injured. From the perspective of the axis of resistance, the drone attack on the Tower 22 base served to again highlight that the American presence in the region is not immune to the devastating consequences of the ongoing Israeli genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip. In fact, believing otherwise is a politically naive and analytically shallow proposition. Further, this attack is part of the announced campaign by the leaders of the Axis of Resistance, from Iraq to Syria to Lebanon to Yemen, including Hezbollah leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, who has repeatedly emphasized the determination of the resistance forces to expel foreign forces from the region. The PMU, as proponents of the political discourse of this axis of resistance, have aimed to convey the message that the current moderately intense regional war could potentially extend to all American military bases in the Persian Gulf, becoming much more costly for the United States. It's quite naive to expect that troops from countries supporting the ongoing Zionist genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip and deployed in the region will not suffer any kind of harm.